Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Tone and Ollie's podcast. I'm your host, James, and I'm joined by my good friend, Timmy Lang.
Hi, everyone.
Rowan is on the deck. Say hi, Ron.
Hi, Ron.
And this week, we have a man from Parklands, Robbie Dineen. So I'll give you a little bit of context as to why Robbie is here. A few months ago, we put up on Instagram what topics would people like us to cover, and there was a huge amount of people said cancer. And then Robbie seen that, so Robbie says, look, lads, I'm my two parents died from cancer relatively young. If you're looking for somebody to cover the topic, I might be suitable. So that's how you're on.
Yeah, I might be suitable, we'll see.
Yeah. But it's a topic that affects so many people. I'd say everybody in this room, the four of us, we all have family members that have passed from cancer.
Well, that's it. Like, it's unavoidable, really, like, you know, so no matter rich or poor or whatever you get into in life, like, that's before discriminate,
you,
like.
Before you talk about the cancer with your parents, do you want to just tell us a little bit about where you're from and what your mum and dad were like and where they're from originally? And
yeah, well, there are two of them were both from the north side as well. My mum was from Fairney and my dad was from Granbar Avenue. So, yeah, and he was an insurance man around the north side, so he used to be collecting around there, so people would have known him and stuff. My mum worked in town. Two relatively healthy people. My dad was a runner, done the Cork Marathon in 2007. So he was fairly healthy. Like, so when it all happened, it was a big shock for that as well. Like, so, you know, you think you're doing the right things and you're staying healthy and you're doing all that. But as you said, like, it doesn't discriminate and it still comes knocking on the doorstep. Like, so.
What age was he? Like, do you know when? Can you remember when he started getting ill?
Yeah, I was actually in America for the summer. And we family in America, so I was over there, and it was 2008. He actually got diagnosed on my sister's birthday, the 6th of May. So they didn't tell me about it, actually, so I was away still, like, so not to worry me and stuff, like, but he got that. He was doing radiotherapy, but, like, it didn't faze him. Like, he was going to work and going up getting radiotherapy, going back out to work. Like, it was kind of, it was nearly putting the back burner, like, you know, he wasn't letting it affect him or anything. Like, like, my cousin got married that summer. I think he went to a Bon Jovi concert in Punchestown that summer. You know, he still got on with everything and that was fine. And I came back, I say, August of that year and got told, big shock then to me, like, you know, because I wasn't after knowing, like, but everyone else had kind of digested it, like, and knew about it. So that was fine. And he kind of got the all clear later that year. Then 2009, they actually done the C team for the marathon. It was called All Cancer Survivors. I think Joe Dean was part of that team as well, the Cork hurler. So there was a few of them. They done that in 2009. And then 2014, it came back, June 2014. His legs swelled up and he went to the doctor and the prostate gland was after swelling, like. So they had to put a splint in and went up to hospital and everything. And he put on tablets to try and bring down the swelling and all that, like, but that was kind of grand anyway. He kind of got on with it. And then August, I think it was like the 15th or 16th of August, he woke up that morning, pains in his stomach, couldn't move, couldn't get out of bed, like, and that, you know, he wouldn't, he'd kind of get on with things, you know, even pain wise, no, he would have, like, and he was in a bad way, like, and rang an ambulance, went up to the hospital, and there was a clot after going off. And blocking up his whole bowel, like, So they had to do an emergency surgery on this Saturday. And they called us into the dreaded room, like, and they were like, you need to get family back from wherever your family, like, so he'd family, we family in America, like, so rang them, like, and they said, like, he probably won't survive this operation, like, but they're going to do it anyway, like, and so that was a big shock to the system, like, so, and just knocks it for six, really, like, and we're just like, what the fuck did you do there, like, so we were just trying to regroup, like, we all our family was there, everyone was there, and, I rang family to come back from America and done the operation, and he went down to the ICU unit and in the COH, and he was in there for 5 weeks, so no movement, and in that 5 weeks more clots went off, so a clot went to his foot and a clot went to his tongue, so they actually had to remove the top of his foot and the top of his tongue while he was out, like, so we were like, Jesus, like, what's going on, like, this is kind of torture to his body as well, even though I was unknown to him at the time and all that, like, but yeah, like, so we were there every day up to the hospital for 5 weeks, just sitting by the bedside, like, kind of wondering, is it going to get better or is it going to get worse? And they really didn't know either, like, it was just how will his body react, like, and 5 weeks later, then he woke up. Jesus, like, he was out of it still now, like, but he didn't know nothing, like, couldn't talk then over the tongue at the time. So he was very agitated about all that, like, and I'm trying to explain to him then and filming myself after happening, like, so he's just been out, he's been unconscious for five weeks, like, so the first, he was there, we gave him a notepad and he wrote down, my mum was next to him and he wrote down, he goes, how are you fixed for money? It's the first thing he asked my mum, like, so Joy, he'd always make sure we were all right or all that, like, but that was the first thing after 5 weeks, like. So we were like, that was the least of our fucking worries now, like, you know?
And he didn't even ask you about the tongue, like?
No, nothing at all, like, nothing, anything, or how long was I out, or what happened, it was like, how will you fix some money to my mum, like.
Yeah. I tell you, the market from there, like, so as bad as he was, so, you know, his first thought is like, how am I,
are you okay?
Yeah, look after my family straight away, like, so so we were kind of glad, like, then we start asking the questions then, like, what's next, or is he in, they're just telling you, look, it's serious, like, you're not out of the woods by any means, like, and we weren't, like, so he went up to a ward, then he was up in a ward for 8 weeks.
Is this in the COH?
In the COH, yeah, they're very good, in fairness, like, and went up to a ward, and kind of speech therapy started coming in, because some of your tongue can actually come back, like.
Go out there.
So, yeah. So,
I've never heard of a clot in the tongue.
Yeah.
I was wondering
but
about
like,
that.
This was, like, no one did, like. Mm. Like, there was, like, students coming in and looking at him and taking notes, and he's like, fuck it, here they are now again, like. But he's like, he left, he was like, Jesus, they have to even do it, like.
Yeah.
They were amazed by it, like, and mad, like, he never gave out about the foot either. I thought that was going to be a huge thing over Joe running, like, and all this, like.
Yeah.
But he just kind of took it and he straight, in fairness, like. And then after 5 weeks, they were kind of saying, you're kind of doing a bit better now, kind of, we can go to Marymount, like, for respite. And then, like, so you hear things about Marymount, then, like, you're like, is it respite? Like, are you going, you know, we were kind of hesitant about it now, to be fair, like, and we're like, look, all right, so we go, like, and he was in up there 2 weeks, and he did deteriorate quickly, like, and he passed away up there, and, like, but, like, we kind of...
Have you many siblings?
I have one sister. So she's actually lives in Dublin, like, so she came down, like, and she was down for the whole thing. She's had to work from home down here, like, so she was there. She was working from the hospital and stuff like that, like, so it was good that she could come down, like, so. Yeah, we kind of fell out of love with Marymount fairly quick over that kind of episode, like, but that was just kind of... There was a bad stereotype to it, like, that you go in there and you never come out of there, like, and that's kind of gone now as well, like when we go on to the next chapter, but, like, with my mum, like, it's a total different scenario, like, you know, but, like, we kind of went up there thinking, oh, I was respite, he's going to get better and come home, and then bang, went the opposite way, so, like, we were bitter, like, well, I was anyway, like, you know, and even after, the year after, like, you know, you'd be out for a drink, like, and as you said there, like, you know, you'd see a fella in the pub, and I know a fella smoking, you know, he smokes 70 fags a day, and he has a drink, and you're like, look at him.
You feel like you had a raw deal.
And joy kind of got bad that way, all right, like I did. Like,
you were grieving, you were sad.
And that would, like, for a year, like, first year, I kind of got, like, he was past mad, like, it was bitter nearly, you know, that kind of way, like, you kind of, like, why him, why not him, and you're, like, thinking, he done everything right, like, he wasn't a big drinker, fit, healthy, and...
But that's 100% normal for a human being to think when they lose a loved one from something like that, you know, they're going to feel a little bit hard done by, because there's other people out there. It's the same example for people that can't have kids, really. You know, people that can't have kids, and they're looking at people that can have kids.
Yeah, they're missing, you're seeing their happiness then.
And you know, and they're not able to be taking care of those kids that they have. But there's couples then that would be able to give a child plenty of love, and so they can't. It's the same.
It's the other side of the coin, isn't it? Like,
there's another kind of an example. Then would be like, you know, people in addiction. Like, why do some people overdose and die and some people don't, you know? I think about friends I've lost and people that I know that have died, and you think, like, how come I'm alive and they're not alive? They were good people, you know?
Yeah.
It's just fucking, it's just the way of the world, it's just the universe and how it works, and we've no control over it. But I was just, when you were talking there, I was thinking about, like, what it must be like, what it must have been like for him to be in, he was out for 5 weeks to wake up and he can't talk. Like, what, like, he must have been so afraid.
Entrapment or something.
Yes, the disorientated. Like, how
you could, like, he could talk nearly, as a sense, he could, like, but we couldn't understand what he was saying, like, because he didn't know about the tongue at the time, you know?
Yeah.
So he was trying to get words out, like, and there's warm coming out, right? Like, you get bits and pieces then, like, all right, like, but it was a tough couple of weeks. That period was bad enough.
Do you know when he got it first time around, the very first time? Can you remember the signs and symptoms that were there? Did he ever speak to you about those?
I think it was just going to the toilet a lot, like passing urine a lot, and a kind of burning sensation as well, like, so. Like, everyone says, oh, don't go get the checks and do all this, like, but I can't be the one to preach that because I haven't done it myself, you know, so, but... It's probably the most important part of it, really, like, you know, to be...
Don't ignore the signs.
Yeah,
like.
Oh, definitely.
And I always would have thought that the prostate thing for men wasn't as bad as a lot of the other cancers, as serious, but...
And it wasn't supposed to be, like, because that's when he got rid of it the first time, they were happy with it and everything, like, but again, it's the thing, it just came back, like, so... Yeah, like, if I suppose if you kind of get a cancer, I suppose it's one of the ones that you hear people recover from a lot, like, you know, so.
That's probably just my lack of education around
it. No, you're right. As you said, like, a lot of people do recover from it, like, not like pancreatic cancer, like what Leo Miller got.
If you get it, you probably don't have a prayer straight away or written off before you even start, like, you know, so.
I think if you get cancer in the pancreas, like what Leo Miller, there's no... Survival rate for that.
To go straight to palliative care then for that. Yeah. They don't even treat you, like, so.
Yeah. But what age was your dad when he passed away?
60. So he was still
relatively young. A lot of life left in him, like.
Oh, he did, like, so he's very relatively young, like, so. That's another thing where you'd be kind of bitter as well, you know, like, but something you could be bitter about a lot of things, like, but it's just it was a tough one to swallow, like.
And that was in 2014.
That was 2014 then, like, so, it kind of, the year or two after that was tough, like, even for all of us as a family, it was tough, like, you know, my mum, like, while he was in hospital, like, they would have had their 36th wedding anniversary, like, you know, so they were with each other from a very young age,
They were too, weren't they?
So, like, she was, like, devastated then, like, so then, like, you were trying to worry about your own self, and then you're coming home, like, and she's just there then, like, you know, you're like, you could nearly go off the rails yourself, but you know, like, if you go off the rails, it's going to be worse on your mum, like. So it'd nearly keep you in line, like, I could have went away on the piss every night and drank my sorrows, and but then I come home, you're only going to make her feel worse if you start
that from your dad.
Oh, yeah.
Thinking about your family before yourself.
So that's it, like,
that's a good thing.
It kind of helped us all in a sense, because, like, it could have fucked a lot of us up. If I had done that, then I would have messed myself up. She would have been worse, like, so.
She was after losing the person to her soulmate.
Yeah,
the person she woke up next every day.
So they'd done everything together all their lives, like, and then bang, gone, like, so what do you do? Like, I'm sure even there was days there, like, I could come home from work early, like, and I'd come in, and she'd be in front of the room, she'd be crying, like, and then she'd be all apologising, like, because I wasn't supposed to be home yet, like, and, like, so that's, you can't do this on your own either, like, so we all feel the same way, like, so it was tough for her, Jesus was very tough for her, like, but yeah, and then probably kind of started getting her lives back together, and bang, she got the news of her one, like, so.
What was the time frame between your father dying and your mother getting the news of she had cancer?
So my dad died November 2014, and 3 years on, November 2017, she found out she had a tumour. So 3 years, like, so...
Fucking hell, what was the signs and symptoms from
so, it? So, looking back, no, we kind of, we didn't know or something, like, but even, we went out for dinner for my dad's anniversary, even, like, and I think Joanna turned around to her and was like, why are you food there in your mouth or something like that, or something small, like, and she didn't even know how to sit on kind of these things, but she never felt it, like, and she kind of started getting headaches and things like that again, so... I think one night, no, we brought her to South Dock and they kind of cleared her for like a stroke and all this kind of thing. And we went to our GP and we got onto the hospital and said, we book in, say, this is over the weekend. They said, we book in Monday a week for a scan. So I think things just got worse over the weekend. So I just brought her up to the CUH myself, like, and just went into A&E. We told them the situation that, like, we're booked in for a scan next week. Like, so they brought it forward and they done it there and then. And it came back then that there was something there, like, so...
Brain tumour.
Yeah, but did it call it a mass, like, yeah, like, so you don't know what it is at the time, like, or is it bad, is it, you know, is it, what is it, like, really, like, so... It was just me and her up there, like, so I'm like, shit, like, so trying to keep her calm at the same time, and me kind of on, your brain just goes into overdrive straight away, so... I rang my sister, I was, like, breaking the news to her then, so she came down from Dublin straight away. And I think 3 days later, they done the operation. And, like, again, like, they're like, look, the operation comes with risks, like, especially around the brain, like, you know, so be prepared for anything at all. Like, so, again, like, you're going home waiting for the call again, like, so.
Jesus Christ. That must be fucked.
They ring, like, they make sure you go home, like, because they're like, look, we don't know how, even how long this will take, like, so just go home and we'll call you. Like, so we got the phone call, they said, they got out 96% of the tumour. So you hear that, then you're like, fuck, like, yeah. Like them odds, like, yeah, you know, yeah, no matter what, like 96%, like, so. But then they said the other 4% is a grade 4 cancer, like, so it's an aggressive cancer, like, that, but it will grow back, like, so. Fuck, that kind of knocks you back then again from your good percentages, like, so. But yeah, that was kind of the middle of November. And they said they'd start radiotherapy then in January. So they started that in January till March and it kind of made no impact at all, really. And they then went on to chemo from March then for 3 months, I think.
Do you know what the difference is between radiotherapy and chemotherapy?
Don't, to be honest. No, I don't really.
The chemo is probably a bit more harsh.
Chemo is more aggressive, all right. Yeah. Like, it was definitely more aggressive because, like, as I said earlier with my dad, like, he was getting radiotherapy and he was going up like on his break from work kind of thing and going back to work like as if it wasn't phasing him. But like my mum was getting chemo, like the week you get it, this could be different out for anyone at all. Like, but the week she was getting it, she was fine. The next week then bed bound for the week nearly, like, and the week after and again she'd be grand, like, and then you get it again after. I was kind of in a 3 week stint, like, but it was always the week after it would nearly hit you, like, and just wiped her out, like. But again, then they wait a couple of months then before they test it because they have to see if it's doing anything at all. Like, so they bring in, give you the scans, and kind of didn't, to be honest. Like, so they were like, you're kind of running out of options here now. Like, so there was a new type of treatment, like, that it's not really used. It's called an Avastin treatment, which is a harsher treatment again. And it goes directly to the tumor, like, but it's very, very harsh, like. And we're kind of saying, all right, like, because otherwise it's just carry on. And does the tumor get worse? Does it get worse very quickly? Which they said it would over being a grade 4. It'll come back pretty aggressive. Like, so we went for that, like, but it just kind of ruined her immune system. Like, was at an all-time low, like anything at all. Like, she was just picking up things, like, and she got in August, her foot kind of swelled up, like, and it's very reddy, pinkish, like, so, like, we'll have to bring you over, like, to get that checked, like, so we went in, and it was called fasciitis or something like that. It was a flesh-eating disease, so they had to remove from the knee down all the flesh on our skin, all of the muscle just took it apart, like took it off.
Fuck.
And kind of wrapped it up in bandages. Like I remember walking in one day when they were even changed, and it's like, and I wouldn't be good with those kind of things. Like, yeah. Jesus, like it was just the bone, like from the knee down. Like
I think I remember seeing last year, do you know Susan that was on the podcast and up in Al Cullen?
Yeah.
Her brother Robbie. Do you know her brother Rob? He's about my age.
Yeah.
I know he get that. He got a flesh eating yolk on his leg, but it stripped his leg.
Yeah, like that's what she got. No,
it was like a leg with no skin. Like,
yeah, exactly that, and it's rapid. Like, so they were, and like it was going down here, like, and there was kind of red spots up towards the knee, but they had to get it up so far that it's completely gone, like, or it'll just spread like mad, like so.
Was it related to the cancer then, Robbie?
Yeah, because it was like her immune system was so low, it was down, and this treatment was so harsh on her. She just had not defied anything at all. Like,
she picking up all these infections.
Like, yeah. So she got that. Like, so yeah, it was in relation to it really. Like, and so then like your brain goes from the tumour to the leg.
I know.
So the head was forgotten about then. Like everyone then is worried about the leg, how's the leg today, strapping up the leg and everything. So they were trying to save that. Well, 7 weeks later then, she got it amputated, like, so they couldn't save, like, it was just for her own sake, like, because it wasn't going to come back anyway at all, like, so amputation. So, like, she took everything in stride, like, she was always positive, like, and she's like, look, that's fine, like, I can still get around, so that was grand. Back up to the head then, like, you know, so the one thing to another, but it was just, that was kind of, so she went in August, like that was kind of middle of September. And then like, she kind of started improving, all right, like, and then the end of October, they said, geez, lads, she's kind of getting well here, you go home, like. And we didn't even think twice about it. We said, yeah, packed our bags, brought her home, like. But we should have had a step back, like looking at it. No, it was easy, John, we just wanted our mum home, like.
Yeah.
But like, it was, we were in at the deep end, you know what I mean? Like, she needed more care than what we could give her, like, but we didn't even realise that at the time. We just wanted her home and be back to a bit of normality, like, but she was only home for 3 days, I say. And the infection came back on the top of her thigh there again. So they had to bring her back in and take more skin again from there, like.
Fuck.
So, like, yeah, so that was, I think that was actually the end of November. And then she was in there. We got her home for Christmas Day, just all right.
What year is this now?
This is 2018.
Yeah, so she's diagnosed a year later.
She was diagnosed 2017, November. And then through 2018, she went through the treatments. And in August 2018, she got the kind of the flesh-eating disease.
Yeah.
Then she kind of, Christmas, all right, like, we thought she was fine. Even though you're looking back and forth, as now you kind of look and go, Jesus, she didn't look well at all. Like, and then to January, she kind of went down a bit, and she actually went to Marymount to put, she went to Marymount in February, and this is how things change. Like, she wouldn't go there, like, and she said, there's no way I'm going up there, like, and we were like, where can you go? Like, you need the proper help. And she was ringing places down in Mallow, all these care and homes and facilities like that. And we were like, that's fine, like, but if you want your sisters or us, like, we're obviously going to go down to you, like, but
it's only up the road, like,
yeah, if you're going out to Mallow, like, do you know that we weren't being selfish on us, like, we were like, for her, like, you want more visitors, like, you want people around you, you want better care as well, like, so, like, we went from hating Marymount and being against it nearly 3 years ago to nearly wishing her into it then this time around, like, so we got up there anyway, and like, it's, it's like a 5-star hotel, like, what they do is just unbelievable, like, the way they look after people, and it is, like, it's just brilliant, like, it is brilliant, like, and they have everything up there, like, she was going down there doing her nails, getting her hair done, all this up there now, like, it's what they do for people, it's brilliant, like, and, yeah, she kind of shopped there in February, and she kind of took a turn around March again there to bring her back to the CUH. She was on all steroids and on all everything, like, and they were kind of affecting the kidneys then and stuff, like, so they thought that they might go, and like, she was hallucinating and everything, like, up in the COH, like, thinking people were around, and thought the nurses were against her, like, and we were at home, she'd ring to come over that the nurses were doing, but they weren't, like, it was just all the pain meds and everything, like, but like looking back and some of the stories were nearly funny, like, so she was nearly seeing things, like, and she was telling me, pick something up and bring it over there and put it on the shelf, and there was nothing there and there was no shelf over there. So my sister was looking at me and like, do you go along with it? Like, do I pretend to pick something up and put it on the shelf, or do I like show over like, oh, what do you do? Like, but like small things that were funny, like, but then sometimes it did get a bit more serious and it was kind of upsetting, all right, like, but she kind of came back around, like, and they held the room for us back in Marymount, and they were like, is she coming back? And we were like, we don't know. And they were like, look, we'll hold the room and everything. So they were very nice, like, and so we went back for March, like, and I think even one weekend in March, we brought her out. And we brought her out in the wheelchair, and we brought her down to Douglas, down to, what's that pub in Dees Village, like, and got lunch and everything. And we gave her a glass of wine with some 7-Up. I said she was lying, wasn't it? Like, going around after, she was delighted. It was one of the best days that we had in the last couple of months or like, and she was delighted, like, and we went back. And then they kind of told us, look, it's kind of, we can kind of see patterns that it is going downhill, like, so we said, look, that's fair enough. But they said, we're going up the steroid doses, like, and it might just give her a boost, like, so it did. And they said, look, this will only last now for a couple of days. And about 3 weeks later, she was still, and they were kind of bringing us in. They goes, look, sorry, like, we didn't expect this, like, she's kept on,
like, flying
like, and proving them, not even proving them wrong, like, but just kind of shocking them, really, like, like, how is, like, they were telling us, like, that this won't go on this long, like, and then they were kind of saying, to people mentioned, could she go home again, and we're kind of going, ah, this is messing with our heads, like, you know, one week, are you planning a funeral, and the next week are saying, could she go home, you're like, and that's how much she was bouncing up and down, like, but then it did, she just slowly kind of did deteriorate, all right, like, and she passed in April, the 11th of April, the day before her birthday is the 12th. She died the day before her birthday.
2019.
So that's what he said. Like, the only thing looking back now, like, after all that happened, like, we're kind of glad it happened in 2019. And if it was 2020, like, we wouldn't have even been left up to the Marymount. And she would have caught everything and anything as well then as well, you know, with all that was going on. Like, so.
Do you know if you were in a situation where you got cancer, please God it don't happen, but let's say if you were, and they tried the radiotherapy and they tried the chemotherapy and it didn't work, knowing what you know what happened to your mum, would you go with that harsher one?
So I don't know, I don't know, would they know more about it now than what they did at the time, and I definitely weigh up my options a bit more than we probably did, like, but at the time then, we didn't kind of rush into it either, like, we did think about it, like, but we thought, like, this is probably the best chance for you to get better at the time, you know, so we kind of went with the best chance.
Yeah.
Like, this might be a silly question, but did you look into any kind of different routes through the medical, like the spiritual kind of stuff?
Like, we thought about that thing, you know, people who go to America and all the cannabis, all that kind of stuff, like, but we didn't really, we just kind of stuck with the hospital route, in fairness, we did, like, and we trusted them, like, but I know I'm not going to say Jesus was there, I thought, like, it wasn't, like, you know, like, what they had done for us, I know you hear people complain about the COH and all this and that, like, anytime we went over there, even when she came home, or before she went in nearly permanent, like, if we had to go up for anything, like, because she got clots in her lungs before she went in as well. So we used to go up, like, and tell her the story, and bang, she was in straight away, like, not a bother, like, she was well looked after, like, everywhere she went, like.
And how did you manage between the doors? Like, that's some 4 or 5 years, they are very fucking tough.
I know, and it was tough now, in fairness, like, you're living in the hospital as well yourself, like, you know, I'm working up by the airport there, so I was just going from there to the hospital, to home, to work, the hospital, to home, kind of thing. The weekends, like, my sister was, could be down as well, like, or she might have to go back up for the Monday and Tuesday, and she'd be down for the rest of the week, and she'd even tell me there on Saturday, she'd go to the lads there and go have a pint, like, you know, just try and get a bit of normality again in her life, like, which was needed, like, you know, just to kind of take herself away from reality nearly, like, but then, as I said, like, you don't want to get too detached from it either, like, and just go away on a bend or, like, you know, so.
Did you ever do any bereavement counselling?
I didn't, and it was actually a fella I met up in Marymount when my mum was up there, his mother died, and he said it to me, he goes, how's it going? He was like, he's like, you saw my mum up here. He's like, I knew his mother had passed, like, and I was kind of wondering why he was up there. And he's like, I'm actually coming up to talk to someone. Like, he said, you should give it a go. Like, it's very good. Like, and I actually thought about it before my mum got sick, and then that all happened, and I never kind of got around to it then, really. Like, but
it's not all that hurt and upset. You'll carry that, and you might think that it's not bothering you as much.
But I, like, my thing is, for me anyway, like everyone is going to be different. Like if it any happened to anyone, like, make sure, like, ask questions, like, because like, when you're brought into these rooms, like, they're telling you cancer, and your mind just goes 90. Like, so, like, it was good that me and my sister were there together, you know. Like, I probably taking stuff, she was taking and stuff, and obviously you're not taking it at all, and like, because there's just so much, like, so it was good that two of us were there, like, and ask questions, like, because even like when we were brought into the room for my mum, like, when she went back in for the second operation that time, they kind of said, look, lads, there's a good chance as well that she might come out of this, like, because she's after going through so many surgeries in the last couple of months, like, and I turned around and I was like, what would be the cause of death, like? And the doctor kind of looked at me, he was like, Jesus, like, and I was like, look, we've kind of been here, done this before, like, John, we kind of felt like we were blindsided the last time, even though we weren't, like, it was just, we didn't want to hear the bad news with my dad, but this time, we were nearly didn't want to hear the good news, because we thought they were just kind of bothering us up, but we wanted to know the truth, and we wanted to know where we stood, like, so we were kind of asking blunt enough questions, and all right, like, but I was like, do you want the right answers? Like, you don't want to be fucking... Like, even when we were up in Marymount with my dad, like, one of the doctors kind of said something. Like, he was like, lads, we're on about he had a good, like, week. And he was like, you're kind of forgetting about the elephant in the room. Like, you know, the cancer, which he was on about. He was like, you can kind of plaster over the cracks. Like, but there's still the elephant in the room, he was saying. And it makes sense. Like, John, you kind of...
Yeah.
It's easy to lose the run of yourself, you know, when you get a kind of couple of good days and a bit of good news. But, like, he's still had cancer, you know. I'm still there and I'm still bad, like, so.
What's your sister's name?
Joanna.
How old is she?
She's 38 now, so.
How is she?
Oh, how is she? How old is she? Yeah.
She's 38. Yeah. Good to know.
Yeah. So, no, she's good now as well, like, so she's up in Dublin, like, so. Yeah, so, no, she's tipping away fine up there, like, so.
Are you living in the family home?
I'm living in the family home now with my girlfriend, and we have a baby boy, 10 months.
Congratulations, so,
hands full, like, so he kind of keeps it busy.
It's the cycle, like, isn't it?
Well, that's
people
it,
leave like, the earth and people join the earth. It's the life cycle.
Like, my sister has a baby, but I know he's 5 months old in Norfolk, like, so, like, she found out she was kind of pregnant soon after my mum, like, and it is, like, it's a bittersweet kind of a thing, all right, like, but...
Not on near the same level now as yourself, but did a bit of a bereavement in Timmy's family there during the week. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that, Timmy?
But we came home Friday and one of the dogs was dead in the backyard.
Ah, stuff.
Yeah. But this small fella, he was brought up with the child, you know. She was 12.
But, she was no more all the way up.
Like. Ah, she fucking, like, he used to be out in the back rolling around in the shit and the piss and the whole lot with her. And she'd be up on top of him and licking him and...
Yeah, we have a small dog over and over in the smart. I was trying to grab the tail all the time, like, she... Dog doesn't want to know it.
But there was once amount of time, the minute she sees him come to the door, she'd go to the corner of the back and start hiding on him. Like, but he just loved her and he took it heavy, like, you know. I told him Friday what happened and he was devastated. But you know, I said this to James afterwards. I was there for him. You know, I was able to be there for him, like you were there for your sister. And your mum, when your dad died, I was there for him. And it was his first introduction to grief, you know. And it was an amazing feeling for me to be there, because for years I would have been caught up in addiction. If I was stoned or drunk, I would have said, well, get over it, it's only a dog. Come on, cop on, it's a dog, you know. But now I understand that it's not just a dog. It's somebody that... My little boy spent a lot of beautiful memories with, and he loved this dog, and you know, and you know what, we spent the whole night with him then, and we just talked about it, and it was great.
Yeah.
It was probably, I was going to say the best weekends of my life, but it was we had a great bond for the weekend, you know, and it was healthy grief as well for the child and his first introduction to grieving over over something he loved, you know.
That's it, like, when you watch out, like, you need people around you, like, and, like, I have a good circle of friends as well, like, that I was lucky, like, even Gillian there now as well, and her family, her brothers, they were, like, they couldn't have been nicer, couldn't have been better, and my friends, like, so, like, I know, even your mum and dad are gone, like, I had a good circle around me, like, which I was very thankful for as well, like, that helped me through that.
You know, when I speak to a lot of people, Rob, about a family member dying of cancer, they'd be very, very grateful for the time that they get to spend with their loved one before they die. Because in some cases, somebody just dies, accident or natural causes or whatever, just like that. But with cancer, you can really appreciate the person for who they are in the time that you have left, and you can really spend it together.
Yeah, see, that's it. And even the nurses, they come across and they're like, so in the last couple of days, ma'am, they're like, if you had any questions, don't we want to ask her, if you want to know, and we're like, fuck, like, what do you ask her? Like, you know, like, our nurse, I think Joanna was even looking for something there a couple of years or so after. She's like, fuck it, I could have asked her that. Like, you know, we even said a joke. And like, but then again, like, I think, like, on the steps of the church over for my dad's funeral, I think a woman came up to me and she's like, oh, he's at rest now, and I kind of took that bad as well, that, like, you know, like, he kind of didn't suffer, it happened so quick. I know it was a long period, like, but he kind of got quick and went, it kind of happened quick as well, like, I was like, he was a healthy man, really, like, whereas with my mum, she went through a lot more, like, you know, over the time, we kind of went, look, she's been through a lot, like, you know.
Yeah.
No, she's at rest. Like, whereas my dad, when people said it, I kind of got a bit up about it, like, you know. Yeah. So, but then again, like, I was older than the second time, I kind of knew a bit more about it, and you kind of handle yourself maybe a bit better.
Sounded like your mother suffered a little bit more.
Oh yeah, like, she was in hospital nearly for 8 months, like, you know, like, so,
and all the complications,
long time, like, and it was just kind of knockback after knockback, like. She smiled through them all, like, she took it all on board, like, and went for it, like, you know, even...
Sounds like you're great parents.
And, like, Jesus, they were, in fairness, like,
and... Mm,
but it was just... It was a tough couple of years, like, but our mum, like, she was positive about everything, like, and that's, like, me and my sister would be too, like, well, she'd probably be a bit more positive than me, maybe, at times, like, but, yeah, like, that's definitely from our mum's side, anyway, like, but...
But sure, look, we'll finish up with you. So, do you want to tell us a little bit about you? What you're doing with yourself? If you've got a girlfriend and a kid, are you working, playing sports?
So I'm working up in the airport business park for a computer software company, Red Hat, and working from home, like everyone, for the last 2 years. Like, so I'm still from home, so.
Gives you time to spend with Smarter.
I'm kind of looking forward to going back to the office.
We'll have to cut that piece up. You know, James, here's that. She's
going to edit that. No, it'll be good to get back to a bit of normality as well. But yeah, definitely has been. So I've been there for everything. Like, so
yeah,
I haven't been gotten away with any nappy changes or feeds or anything like that.
She'll miss you when you go back.
She doesn't think it, like, but she will.
Do you know what? That's actually a fair point. Yeah, do you know, relationships really got stronger during the night. Some of them went fucking bad and there was a lot of splits and divorces. Yeah. But some relationships got really strong, you know, couples and stuff because of the lockdown.
Oh.
And when one of the couple went back to work, it was actually tough because I remember my one here. She, when I went back to work after being in the lock, she'd be ringing me, she's saying, fuck it, it's hard to get used to not having you here.
Oh, it is. You know? You're just in, you're nearly giant at the hip, like, you know what I mean? And you leave, like, you're back into your normal routine, like, so it's, it'd be a wake up call even for me, you know, like, you know, so.
I actually went to work down Castle Island, Kerry. I took the just to get away from I'm only kidding.
Take none of
anyone. Free jobs and all.
Just to get out of the house. It was during the lockdown, but it was essential works. We were working in an old folks home doing fire safety stuff, and I was actually very happy just to get out and get into the van.
But right in the same, like, John, you're over, like, you finish work. You're still there, like, no, you have to get out and go off for a walk or just to get out of the house or you go off for a game, like, you're in the house 24/7, like, just a bit of air, like, or you crack up, like.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on the podcast, Robbie.
No, no problem. No problem. Cheers, Robbie. Thanks.
Not an easy topic, but you spoke about it with a tremendous amount of dignity and respect to your parents. Yeah. They raised a good man. They sound like they were very good people. Salt of the earth, like most Narries.
Yeah.
And they're a credit to Parklands and the North Side in general.
Just one more thing. If anyone is struggling with a family member with cancer, what kind of advice would you give them?
Ask questions. Like no matter what, when the doctors come in, it's overwhelming. Like it is overwhelming. Like and you're thinking of the worst straight away. Like but like you can go away, like write it down and come back in and ask them. Like have it written down in front of you. Like know what you're going to say, and don't leave until you get them answers. Make sure you register what they tell you. Like because they could be speaking to you and it could go in one ear out the other just because you're so taken back by the bad news. Like and again, like speak to people. Like I talk to my friends a lot. Like you know so.
Yeah,
that's
and we'll leave numbers and links for low cost counselling in the description of the video and the podcast on
Acast
and Spotify, and that's so people can reach out.
Perfect.
And get some help. But thanks, Robbie.
No, about it. Thanks, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Cheers, Timmy. Thanks, Ron, and we'll see you next week.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.